4 days after the miraculous Hail Mary win over the Detroit Lions, questions are being raised about the status of Green Bay Packers running back Eddie Lacy, who reportedly broke curfew the night before the Lions game. Where do Lacy and the Packers go from here? To answer that question, we bring on 24/7 Sports Insider Luke Rogers. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about a win over the Detroit Lions this past Thursday. To talk about that and several other topics, particularly Eddie Lacy, we bring on our guest this morning.
Expert interview.
We bring on Luke Rogers, 24/7 Sports Insider. Mr. Rogers, how you doing this morning?
Brian, doing well. Glad to be back on the show. It's always fun to spend a Monday out every month with you here.
Yes. We're glad to have you for our monthly engagement here on the show. Luke, kind of the big news in Green Bay over the weekend is Eddie Lacy. We learned that he missed curfew prior to the Lions game, and that's what kind of led to his lack of playing time. But this has really been a weird season for Lacy in general. You know, kind of starting with reports that he was overweight. He's dealt with multiple injuries this season. What is the concern level with Eddie Lacy in Green Bay right now?
Well, I'd say it's pretty high, Brian. I think especially after coming off of two straight games, you know, going over 100 yards, and knowing that, at least from what the Packers are telling the outside, that – you know, they like to have Eddie available and fresh and healthy for the second half of the season as the weather turns up north. You know, his style, I think, much more fits the elements. You know, and it's like you said, it's been a weird season. I don't think we completely know what's going on. I know that there, like you said, there was questions about his weight and then injuries and sort of this ongoing mystery on what was going on with Eddie Lacy and why he wasn't getting the touches and, you know, and so on and so forth. So I don't know. I don't know if this is the culmination of events here or this is just maybe the tip of the iceberg. I think that's a pretty valid question. I'm saying, you know, knowing how the Packers like to deal with things internally, I'm curious and, you know, I'm really maybe how far this rabbit hole goes. But I would say, you know, from a fan standpoint and someone who covers a team, and I know you probably, you know, have some pretty intimate knowledge being, you know, covering the Packers. I'm just curious, you know, maybe the impetus for this whole thing, because, you know, this missed curfew has got to be just a symptom of something else, don't you think?
Yeah, I really don't know where to go with this. I've kind of thought this whole overweight issue is maybe a little bit, you know, blown out of proportion because Eddie Lacy's always been a big guy. I don't know if he's that much bigger than he was, you know, two seasons ago. So I'm wondering if there's more than meets the eye with Eddie Lacy in terms of I off-field issues. I couldn't even begin to speculate what, you know, could be wrong besides just, you know, missing curfew. But he doesn't seem to be seeing eye-to-eye with the coaching staff, I guess.
No, and, you know, Brian, I wonder. I think, you know, one thing that I wanted to ask you and when we got into this whole thing, and I think this does point to a bigger issue in some ways, is, you know, the Hail Mary. And I've been thinking about a lot of this since Thursday's game, and obviously the excitement. You really hope that this becomes maybe a rallying point for the rest of the season. But I wonder if this isn't, in a sense, kind of wiping away where we would be if it hadn't happened. And let me just explain this a little bit. If you watch the game entirely, the Packers lead for zero, no seconds, no minutes. They lead this game. And if you're watching sort of the media opinion and the pundits, and you know, I watch Twitter actually during all the NFL games to kind of see what's going on. But there wasn't a fix this game, right? There wasn't a fix in the offense. There wasn't a fix in the defense. And I think we're seeing the same issues week in and week out, and things aren't getting better. We just happen to have, you know, again, a fourth quarter where the offense, you know, second half, fourth quarter, the offense plays better than it did the first half. For whatever reason, they don't get going in the first half. And then a very low percentage Hail Mary for the win. And I don't know that – this is what I was going to ask you in your opinion as well. I don't know that if that Hail Mary doesn't get caught, what do you think we're looking at this week? Do you think we're looking at actual real changes that happen within that coaching staff? You got to think that if the Packers get swept by the Lions – this season, that proverbially some heads have to roll. So, and I reached this point here only to kind of go back to the point that I think that fundamentally there's something that's not right in the leadership right now in this organization. And I know that's a big statement, but I think when you see these kind of things happen, you see your star running back miss curfew the night before an away game, that there's something going on inside, you know, in the locker room. There's a void there that in leadership. And, you know, I don't know necessarily that's on the player side. I tend to lean towards the idea that maybe the coaches aren't getting their jobs done this year. And maybe that's something that we're seeing kind of play out in front of us. And, you know, and I know that players make plays, and it's something that I've kind of been rolling over my head thinking about, but we're looking at a game, you know, a stretch since the Packers started 6-0 where we continue to have the same problems week in and week out. And as we go to each week, it's going to be fixed. You know, McCarthy's going to be fixed. It's back to the fundamentals. It's back to the little things. But Brian, these little things aren't getting fixed. Like, you know, players are going to drop balls. Players are going to make mental mistakes. But I think what we're seeing here is, in the big picture, is really, you know, and Mike has said it himself, it's preparation, but it's a complete lack of preparation. When we go to these games, even against the Lions, talking about the Lions, that this should be, you know, something you circle on the calendar, you know, maybe not circle on the calendar, I should say. Maybe don't circle this because this is expected to be a game the Packers win. And yet, again and again, I think we're seeing players not put in the right position to, you know, to succeed. And I think that has to fall on the coaches. And even this leadership thing of Eddie Lacy, one of your main guys who, for whatever reason, seems to be out of the loop, and then out of the loop enough that he misses curfew. Like, I just, you know, I don't know, man. I don't see this happening if Charles Woodson is in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know exactly. I'm not pointing fingers at anything or saying anything except that there's something going on leadership-wise, coaching-wise on this team that's we're seeing manifest itself on Sundays or Thursdays.
Yeah, I wonder if the one thing maybe the Hail Mary prevented or from happening would be Mike McCarthy taking back play-calling duties from Tom Clements. That had the Packers lost, that might have been like a given that happened perhaps. I don't know how many more changes there would be, but that's perhaps one thing that could have happened in light of the, what could have been a potential loss. I'll ask you this. You know, there was a report from Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network on Sunday that the Packers were considering signing Alonzo Harris, the player they cut, to their practice squad, but they aren't doing so because they don't want any bad influences on Lacy. Do you think that move, that kind of, you know, that cutting ties with Alonzo Harris, do you think that send a message to the rest of the team at all that we're not going to tolerate this?
Yeah, but what other messages did I send, Brian? I got to keep going back to the veteran leadership here and saying, like, you know, you what's going on in the locker room that the Packers don't have enough faith, don't have enough belief that their locker room can't handle this. You know what I mean? I mean, you're going to have a certain amount of distractions, which is for any NFL team. But the hope is, I think, that the guys, you know, can themselves, out of themselves, get as a team and players and veteran leadership, get themselves focused on the common goal, and or the coaching can handle that. Maybe all of that is really blown up. Maybe what we're looking at here is Alonzo Harris, a third string running back, probably a replaceable player. Maybe it's a thing of there isn't much of a difference between Crockett and Harris when it comes down to it. Mm-hmm. And maybe the impetus here and the big deal is that he was the guy with Eddie, and whether or not he's a bad influence or not, I don't know how this thing's being spun by the Packers, but I mean, the reality is that there isn't much of a difference between him and Crockett. But I think if we go back to this, I think it's strange too that you sign Crockett from the practice squad and he comes up and then he sees the action that he sees.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what that says about the offense either. Like, you expected if Eddie's getting disciplined internally that, you know, he'd see, you know, maybe he'd miss the first quarter or the first half, they'd hold him out. But the way they kind of operated with the snaps and the offensive, you know, game plan, it wasn't like he was out of half and then Eddie's back and you're feeding him, which I don't understand. The guy comes off of two games of going over 100 yards and looking like the Eddie Lacy that we remember from last year. And instead of putting him on the field, you're putting a kid that's playing on the practice squad who hasn't seen any snaps since preseason, and he's doing the bulk of your running in the third and fourth quarter. Not that he didn't do a good job. The guy did great, but this isn't your bell cow. And so this is what I'm trying to understand. This is what I'm trying to understand, Brian, is I don't understand some of the decisions from a personnel standpoint, from a play calling standpoint, from a scheming standpoint, from this coaching staff. And they're not telling us enough. Maybe to understand, and I know that's part of the thing that Mike likes to do is handle things internally. But from the outside looking in, not a lot is making a lot of sense. Seems at least. I mean, maybe you disagree, but as much as you watch the Packers and cover the Packers, as much as maybe I just watch and stay up to date, it's the weirdest year I can remember. I mean, it's just strange. Completely strange.
You bring up a good point about the I guess the word would be discipline of Eddie Lacy. If you're going to discipline him, you would think, well, he sits out a quarter, he sits out a half, but then he's back to normal. You know, he went after, he sat out, I think, two series, then he plays, and then he goes back to being in the doghouse again. You're right. It didn't, there's something the Packers aren't explaining, or I don't know. I mean, I guess to get Mike McCarthy to come out and explain it exactly might be asking too much. But I'm at a loss there as well. Where do you think the Packers go from here with the running game? Is it now James Starks being the workhorse, or is Eddie Lacy, you know, just back to normal this upcoming game against the Cowboys? Does John Crockett have a role anymore? Where did they go from here with the running game?
Well, I think if the Packers want to give themselves a chance on the ground, they're gonna have to increase Eddie's workload. I mean, it was pretty obvious, in his performances where he was given the main role that he produced, and not that James hasn't. I think that Eddie brings an element that James doesn't, and I think that element actually, behooves itself to the injury situation on the offensive line for the Packers.
Yeah,
and like you said, it's hard to understand exactly what's going on, even if there wasn't some kind of disciplinary plan for this last game. Like, to have a player like that and to not allow him to get into a rhythm, you know, Stars gets two series, Eddie gets one series, and to have it bounce around, I think you're asking a lot, you know, from a player that probably needs to get into a little bit of rhythm, considering that he hasn't had the amount of reps in the first half, first seven tenths of the season, whatever you want to say. It's mind blowing to me. And I know Mike is a guy that wants to, he's easy to say it every time. He bangs us from, you know, death. He wants to, you know, it starts with the running game. It, you know, begins with the running game. We're going to run the ball. You know, I'm a guy that believes that Eddie Lacy is the best option. And I'm pretty sure that they downplayed his injuries earlier, because when we had Eddie back, you know, 3 games ago now, he looked like the healthy Eddie Lacy. I don't think he looked like that previous to that game. And James does some great things, and I think James has earned himself touches. But I think it needs to be more of a split. And, you know, I like some of the things that Crockett did as well. I just don't think that he offers anything that James or Eddie don't. And that's where I think you gotta go back to Eddie Lacy. You gotta establish the run, especially with the offensive line being the way, you know, being as banged up as it is, making it hard to protect Aaron. You've gotta keep the defense guessing so that, you know, so the passing game can be effective as well. And, you know, some other things I want to chat about, you know, that I think also continue to be overlooked, especially in light of the Hail Mary, would have to be, again, some of the offensive play calling. I know you mentioned it before, and talking about Mike McCarthy, and, you know, I don't necessarily know that handing over the duties is going to change a whole lot. I think... You know, I don't know. I think the Packers are just getting away from things that have gotten away from things that have worked in the past. Like,
yeah.
I think we're seeing and missing Jordan Nelson. I think that's part of it. But, you know, how often have they gone to the well of that, you know, of that 3-4 yard out to the flat, and it hadn't worked all year. I mean, how many crossing routes are the Packers running? I can't think of any, hardly, except maybe a few plays on the goal line where you run a rub. And yet, this is a staple of NFL offenses, and keeping guys open is having crossing routes, is having rub routes on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And if the offensive line isn't built right now because of injury to protect, where's the slant route that Randall Cobb has lived off his entire career until this season? I mean, where are these elements that seem really, really elementary, you know, to the situational football, to the scheme, to the player personnel that we have, that, you know, that the Packers have going on? And where are these things? Well, I mean, we talked about it last month. We talked about the fact that we're still doing five-step drops with 12-yard in-breaking routes, and yet we don't have an offensive line that can protect for that long. And that's not, it's not a slam to them. It's just a matter of, like, we, you know, last game, you don't have Brian Bulaga. You don't have TJ Lang. You don't have Lindsley for most of it. You have Treader. I think those two are pretty interchangeable. But then you're looking at, like, having three of your five offensive linemen aren't your starters, aren't your best players out there. And then, you know, I gotta wonder, you know, Mike is big on practice and who does well in practice, and those guys play, and yet the guys that do well in practice aren't producing. I think that Aberderis has earned himself snaps. I think he needs to cut into James Jones' snap count. I think those two need to be rotated more on a regular basis. I think you got to look at what's not working and make adjustments. And like we talked about a month ago, I don't think the Packers are making those adjustments. That falls squarely on this coaching staff.
Yeah, I'm right there with you in terms of the crossing routes and the slants that just don't seem to be there. And it really is, you know, head scratching why they wouldn't be, especially in light of all the struggles the offense have had this season. And you would think it'd be impetus for change, but it hasn't been. If we go back to the Hail Mary here for a moment, because you know that guy that threw the ball pretty well. And in my opinion, It was just about the best Hail Mary thrown ball possible. Just the way he bought time, the trajectory he got on the football, placing it in the perfect spot. What amount of practice do you think Aaron spends on something as rare as that?
I don't think a lot, but you know, I think the concept of a Hail Mary is pretty simple, Brian. And I think the execution is the really hard part. And you know what I think Aaron did well on that, for sure, is you got to give it enough distance to the end zone. And then, you know, I think maybe the brilliant thing is that, you know, I heard that ball was 48 to 49 yards high. And what I think is, you know, a lot of guys can't do, and he's really got a God-given gift to do in his arm. You know, he has to throw the ball as far as he did, but he gave it enough height that his guys could track it. I mean, Richard Rodgers talking after the game said that he had time to look down at the ground, make sure he was in the end zone, or make sure he's going to be in the end zone, and then look back up and still have time to track the ball. I mean, if that ball isn't thrown as high, you've got a lot of receivers and a lot of people going up in the air, maybe not knowing where they are in space. And I think, you know, I played receiver in high school, and that's not a whole lot. But, you know, but I think catching a ball and being a receiver, you know, the best guys like Odell Beckham, have got unbelievable sort of innate abilities to know where their body is in space. And I think not everyone's like that. And I think throwing the ball higher, you're giving everybody a chance to really have a good body feel and know where they're on the field. And then also you're giving these guys a long time to track a fly ball like in baseball. You know, you're tracking a fly ball, you're tracking a line drive. And, you know, it was a great throw, great catch. Really crazy play, Brian. It's one of those things, you know, low percentage, but I think the little things that Aaron was able to do on that, like buy himself some time for his guys to get in the end zone, and throw it as high as far as he did, really was a special play.
The guy who caught the football, Richard Rodgers, if there's one thing that maybe did change in the Packers' kind of game plan, they seem to use him as a downfield target more than they had any time this season. Do you think that kind of maybe they figured something out there with him?
Yeah, I think maybe that comes out of necessity. Richard's got some of the better hands, but maybe not the best hands, I think, on the team. So you've got a reliable target. He's a bigger guy. Obviously, he's not breaking any speed records. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But you know, I think they like the matchup in his case for leverage. I mean, you're not going to have a corner. You're most likely going to have a linebacker, and I think they like his instincts and his ability to, you know, to catch the football. We know that's been an issue in the last few weeks for the Packers. And maybe this comes out of necessity with him. And I mean, if we're going to be completely honest about the performance of the other receivers, you know, since the bye week, there hasn't been a whole lot to talk about, Brian. The guys haven't been able to get open, and I'm not going to put that completely all on the receivers. Like we talked about before, I think there's a lot of things that can be done in play calling and scheming that can make up for, lack of speed or an ability to quote get open. I think all you need to do is watch the Patriots play, and yeah, they had a poor game. We don't need to get into them. They lost this last week, but they're doing a lot of what the Packers are doing, and that's trying to plug and play receivers and dealing with injuries. And, you know, Gronk is out and Edelman's out, and, you know, they've got a banged up Amendola, and they're plugging and playing, but they're scheming within this, put their players in the best position to make plays. And I think if you go and look at the tape and watch the game for the Packers, I don't see that happening. And I mean, we're talking about a Hall of Fame coach and Bill Belichick and probably one of the best minds in football, but I don't think it requires that necessarily to make and create opportunities for your guys to get open. And go back to Richard Rodgers, and it's possible that, you know, he just ends up being reliable and kind of that safety, he's becoming that safety blanket that Jordy has been for the last few years for Aaron. But when it comes to the receivers, I think that maybe I'm banging this drum, but I don't feel like this staff is creating the opportunities to make these guys and put these guys in positions to make plays. And I think all you got to do is you know, we know James Jones isn't the fastest dude, and yet we're still sending him down the field, you know, against the corner. And then there seems to be some kind of shock that he can't get separation. There shouldn't be. I mean, let's be honest. There needs to be an element of creativity. There needs to be an element of moving guys for matchup and personnel. And there needs to be an element of play calling and scheming that puts these guys in better positions. And honestly, it's not. I don't think it's happening. And yes, a lot of what we're seeing in the offense can be put on the receivers not getting open. But I would say this really is a problem that I think I've seen the last few years, and we're seeing it manifest this year, is that the Packers have kind of always operated in a way where we're just going to line our guys up and we're going to try to win our one-on-ones, you know, and receivers. And in the past, that's been able to happen. You have Jordy Nelson, he's able to win his one-on-one. Because the best corner is on Jordy, you've got, you know, a slot guy on Randall, and Randall's able to win that one-on-one. We're looking at that not happening this season. And because it's not happening, we're still going to the same well of let's line our guys up, let's run them down the field, and let's hope that they can win their one-on-one. And I just don't think that's the best plan. And I think that's played itself out in the last 3 to 4 weeks. You're seeing not the kind of production we expect from the Packers. And yet, I don't think we're seeing the adjustments that you need to make from that standpoint to remedy this. And, you know, I don't know, Brian. I mean, I feel crazy watching some of these games, but talking about the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And yet I feel like the Packers offense is doing the same things over and over again, expecting something to change. And you're not seeing the change. It's not happening.
I'm right there with you. I don't know what the answer is, but other than they got to do something schematically to change things up, whether or not we see that, I guess, is a different matter. And Luke, well, if I just go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what's it going to take to get a slant route? What's it going to take to have a rub route on the outside or a crossing route? I mean, these are little things, and I was screaming for the screen forever. That's finally come back in to the playbook. But you know, you can't protect your quarterback. You got to start screening, and you can't be running third and one toss sweeps. I mean, just some of these things to me, I want to pull my hair out, man. Like you've got five north south running plays where you're gashing the Lions, and you go to third and one in the shotgun and you run a toss sweep. It's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, and I understand that. And I'm not sitting here saying I could do a better job. I'm just sitting here saying that we should expect more. And at this point, I don't feel like we're getting more. We're not getting the adjustments and sort of what you would expect from the coaching staff, in light of the circumstances the season has really thrown upon them. So go ahead, man. I'm interrupting. My diatribe is the same, and I apologize.
No problem. I'm glad you brought up the toss sweep, by the way. That was ridiculous.
I couldn't believe that, man.
If we take a look at Sunday's action in the NFL, I want to get your thoughts on two teams that I thought kind of had an impact on the Packers. The Carolina Panthers won on Sunday, eliminating any chance the Packers have getting the number one seed in the playoffs. And one other game, the Seahawks beat the Minnesota Vikings, which puts the Packers in first place in the NFC North. So, just your thoughts on those two teams, the Carolina Panthers. Is the NFC representative going to run through Carolina? And just your take on the NFC North and where the Packers, is it going to come down to Week 17? What do you think there?
I think it is going to come down to Week 17. I think I mean, Carolina has, you know, it's pretty much wrapped up the idea that it's got to run, it's going to run through them. You know, I think, you know, I don't think they looked that sharp against the Saints. And then, you know, the Saints were on pace when they fired Rob Ryan to have the worst defense in NFL history as far as scoring allowed. And if you go back through the season, I mean, they gave up, what, 7 touchdowns to Eli Manning and the Giants. It's hard to gauge what's going on in that game because, you know, Carolina, you know, probably walked in expecting to, you know, to roll through the Saints, and they got a lot more fight than they expected. I think the Panthers are beatable. I think maybe not beatable on the rest of their schedule, but definitely in the playoffs. If you can contain Cam Newton in the pocket, I think he's shown, you know, that he can be erratic at times throwing the ball, and it's just a matter of, you know, he's a tough cookie to crack for a defense, and in the way that he can beat you with his feet, and he can beat you with his arm. You know, I think if you can take away Greg Olsen as a defense as well, you give yourself a great chance, you know, to beat him. It's interesting. They're a tough team. They're a tough team to kind of project because they really haven't been where they are right now. So, I mean, they're going to stay there. Could they possibly lose, you know, after a first round bye? I mean, absolutely. I think if we're talking about both those teams and we go to the Seahawks, I think that's a much scarier team right now for a lot of reasons. That team's peaking at the right time. I mean, they rolled over and through, you know, the NFC North leading at the time, Vikings. And Russell Wilson's throwing the ball really well. That team is starting to play defense like you'd expect them to play defense. And, I mean, they're really kind of gelling, and that's a scary, scary team to have, you know, at any seed and anywhere in the playoffs. I think at this point, the NFC is benefiting from the fact that the Cardinals are good because, you know, going to Seattle, winning a game is not an easy thing. The Packers were able to do it this season, but, you know, that's a tough thing, especially come playoff time. So the Seahawks are going to play on the road, but you know, the way they're playing right now, they look like they can beat anybody, anywhere. So I'm more concerned if I'm the Packers, especially about seeing Seattle in the playoffs than Carolina. I think that even as bad as the Packers played against Carolina that fourth quarter, that comeback, I think that team, you know, through this week, through week 13, looks, you know, even though it's 12-0, looks more beatable than the 7-5 Seahawks. And you know, and then at Minnesota, it was a telling game. I think Minnesota's has struggled playing good teams this season. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how those young players respond next week. I mean, Adrian Peterson came out and basically called out his coach after this game, probably something you want to do. You know, and it looks like they're panicking at 8-4 a little bit. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything, really, if the Packers can't take care of their own business. And it comes back to Green Bay. We're talking with the Green Bay podcast, talking about the Packers. If the Packers cannot handle their own business, when it, you know, the next business for them is the Cowboys next weekend, a game they should win, the Cowboys without Tony Romo, a game at Lambeau you would expect to win. But if they can't come out and handle their business, then it's, Brian, it doesn't really matter how Seattle or how Carolina's playing at the end of the day. It doesn't. I mean, the NFC is tough, and I think the team no one's talking about up there is the Cardinals, and the Cardinals look like they can beat anybody. I mean, the way they pass the ball, the weapons they have on offense, to me, they're like the NFC's version of the Steelers. And the Steelers, if you watched them last night, are a scary team. They probably have the best receiving, you know, receivers in, you know, in the league wide. But I think if you look at the Cardinals, they're built very, very similar. You've got a quarterback that can make all the throws. You have an unbelievable, you know, receiving core. And, you know, up until the injuries and even, you know, they figured it out with David Johnson this weekend. Running back, they've got a running back that can grab the yard, they grab the yards they need, in opportunistic defense. And so, I mean, as much as we're talking about the Seahawks and Carolina, the Cardinals are a really, good football team that's sitting there, you know, waiting to make some noise come playoff time in the NFC as well.
The Packers going to face them, too, before the end of the regular season. Luke, before we let you go, you're going to be in Green Bay this weekend. You're going to be taking part in a charity event. If you want to let our listeners know what's going on, maybe there might be a few out there that might be interested in joining.
Absolutely. Saturday, I believe it's Wrightstown. Is that right? That's how it appears. Wrightstown or Wrightsville. I can't remember.
Wrightstown, yeah.
Right now. Wrightstown, yeah. There are some folks there that wanted to put together a fundraiser for a charity that that my girlfriend works closely with called Simon's Fund. What Simon's Fund does is they raise money to provide free heart screenings for student athletes. And I think one of the things that that needs to be part of the national conversation, as much as we talk about concussions and young people playing football, you know, young people across all sports should really take a long look at their hearts. We lose on average more than 2,000 student athletes a year to sudden cardiac arrest. So these are kids dropping, you know, collapsing on a football field, on a basketball court, at cross country meets. These kids have heart conditions they didn't know they had. They might seem like they're fully healthy kids. And what Simon's Fund does is they take this funding and they create these free heart screenings that allow everybody to have access to cardiologists and do an EKG, so they can get their heart scanned. And most of the time, and I do 98% of the time, it's just a good check to make sure that your son or daughter is healthy. But those 3-4% of kids that have something, this ends up being the difference between you know, life and death most of the time for them. So it's a really cool charity. It's a cool event. It's going to be Saturday night. It's a dress up event at a private residence. If you the listeners need any more information, feel free to hit me up on Twitter or or send me a message on Facebook. Even if you're my friend, I can shoot you an invite to the event. And I appreciate that, Brian. Thanks for a little shout out there. It'll be a fun time. And I mean, you couldn't have a better cause, especially, you know, here on a sports show. You and I cover sports. But, you know, it's really passionate of my girlfriend's. She actually has a heart condition herself. So this has really been her sort of what she loves to do and what she loves to advocate for. And, I'm just kind of happy to be a little part of it and be able to get the word out.
And of course, being in town, you're going to be at Lambeau Field on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm not completely sure I'm going to go to the game yet. It depends. I've got to get back for work.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to take in the festivities for tailgating. I actually have to get my flights booked and see what I can do. So I will be in and around the area. So if you're around, we definitely should find an adult beverage somewhere.
Very, very good. I'm not sure I'm going to be in Green Bay. I live in Madison, but I thank you for the offer. Thanks so much, Luke, for joining us today. I appreciate it. We'll get your insights next month. There'll be time for the playoff push by that point.
Yeah, so hopefully we're talking about how the Packers have put it together, how they're peaking at the right time. And I keep going back to this. I know that we like to point out a lot of the things that we see, you know, that we think should be fixed and things that are wrong. And I think that just kind of lends itself to to us working in the media, mm-hmm. and critiquing what's going on. But I'd like to go back to the fact that in 2010, the Packers were super injured, and we're looking at a lot of that this year. And the Packers squeaked in the playoffs, which could happen again this year, but they peaked at the right time. And I think that can happen. But I would hope, you know, and I think, you know, as the few things we've talked about can be the things that if you put those building blocks and plug those things in the right place, this team still has all the pieces, even with the injuries, to make a run. We've seen the defense play amazing, and we've seen what the offense can do, especially early in the season, the first six games, not so much lately. But that offense is the same guys that line up, and that can happen. So, you know, I love the Packer Nation in the sense that they're the most passionate and always most hopeful fans. And there is a lot of opportunity this season. I just, you know, it could happen. And I hope we're talking about it. I hope we're talking about how the Packers are on a run and, you know, how they fix some of the issues that we see and how we're excited to go in and see them make some noise in the playoffs.
I hope so too. Luke, once again, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you the first Monday of January, all right?
All right. Happy New Year then.
Sounds good. Take care, all right, buddy?
Thanks, man.
Yep.
Okay, take care, brother.
Luke Rogers joining us here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV on a Monday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well, as that conversation took pretty much the entirety of our show and then some. So I'm going to kind of surpass the usual segments that I do. Not too much to add anyway that we haven't already covered between what happened in the NFL on Sunday. And there's not too much to look ahead to, at least in the very near future for the Packers this Monday. As we get closer to the game, you know, they'll start hitting the practice field later in the week, you know, coming off this kind of little bit of a break here after playing a Thursday game, you know, getting back to practice Wednesday, Thursday this week. So looking forward to that then. We'll be back again on Wednesday here at Railbird Central with our usual weekly guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. He'll be joining us, so looking forward to that. And we'll see you then, folks. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could give us a rating and a little review, we'd appreciate it. And we'll talk to you later, folks. Have a good Monday. I don't know if you want to consider this a victory Monday or not, but seeing as the win happened on Thursday, we'll take it, though. We'll see you later, folks. Enjoy your day. I leave you with a song called Mounted Boa by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack Go.